masterpiece. We'll be talking about paying $16 to vote. What 15-year-olds are doing at the Playboy Mansion. A solution to the immigration problem. And why you have to be a heroin addict to enjoy the Velvet Underground. And now, here's your host, Kyle Dirksen.
Good morning. It is Thursday, August 6th, 2015 at 10:50 a.m. I am your friend, Kyle Dirksen. And today we take to the internet, we take to the ether, we take to theweek.com to take a look at the top articles, things, news things we need to know right now. What do we need to know, Kyle? Well, I'm going to tell you. Here we go. Federal court says Texas ID law violates Voting Rights Act. On Wednesday, a federal appeals court in New Orleans struck down Texas's strict voter ID law, saying it discriminated against Hispanic and black voters and was in violation of the Voting Rights Act of 1965. We all remember that, don't we? The Texas law, passed in 2011, requires voters to bring a government-issued photo ID to the polls with acceptable forms of ID, including a driver's license, U.S. passport, and or a concealed handgun license. They threw that one in there to be silly, because you can also bring... They could have just said, or a U.S. ID, federal ID card, because I had one of those before I had my license. But it looks exactly like a license. They didn't need to say concealed handgun license. That's a shot at Texas. University ID cards and copies of bills are not considered valid. A lower court voted in 2014 that the law was discriminatory, but the state was allowed to keep it in place because the midterm elections were about to be held. Okay, that's neither here nor there. Now, the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals is sending the law to the court in Corpus Christi, which will decide if it was enacted with discriminatory intent. All right. So... what do you think about this? What do I think about this? I'm not totally certain what I think about this. One, I did do a little research because I feel like the argument from the left or the people saying that it is discriminatory, they're saying it's a burden on these people, these lower income families or these people in poverty to go and get a valid ID, U.S. mandated or federal ID card because it takes a while to sit in line at the DMV. Or you have to pay registration fees and stuff like that. But I did a little bit of research, and if you want to get a passport, you can send that in through the mail. There's a little bit of, you know, a little bit of money. I think it costs upwards of $30 or something like that, or $60, something like that. But it's a little chunk of change. But if you can't go to the DMV, you can't find that time between your early stocking shift at Costco and your landscaping business, you know, the three or four jobs, or the guy that sits the cashier at Dairy Queen, that money shift that you have, you can just send it in at your leisure, you know. You don't have to go make an appointment at the DMV. Otherwise, if you go to the DMV and you want to get a federally issued or a personal identification card, it costs $16. So the people that are saying this is such a burden on the poor people that they can't afford it. If you can't afford $16 to have something from the federal government sent to you that says that you're allowed to be here or that you can vote now, then I don't really want you voting anyway. I don't see what the big deal is about when people vote that they want to see something that says you're allowed to be in this country. I get it. And it's like, if it says at the bottom here, which will decide if it was enacted with discriminatory intent. It is enacted with discriminatory intent. But not because they don't want Mexicans and blacks and Chinese people not to vote. No, not that. They don't want illegal immigrants to do it, which I understand completely, because they're not citizens here. So why should they be allowed to vote? Is that insane? I don't know when this became such a radical thought. But if you're an illegal alien here, I don't really want you voting, because we know what you're going to vote for. Higher taxes. Of course, because you want to use those public parks and drive on our freeways and all that kind of stuff, which I'm fine with, but you don't have any say in what you get if you're not actually putting anything into the system. So why should you get to vote? Why should you have any bearing on where this country goes if you came here illegally? I don't understand that, and I don't understand why that's a crazy... or like somehow that's a bigoted racist thought. I'm saying that about whoever gets in here. It doesn't have to be Mexicans. It's not like because they're brown that I don't like them. It seems like such a base sort of pathetic thing that's what we don't want. We just don't like Mexicans. Why? I'm quite fond of them. They're great workers. Everybody about lazy Mexicans. I don't see that really ever I think they're lazy if they don't want to go get a $16 identification card and they're actually, you know, they got here legally. That's lazy. But that's lazy on a lot of people's parts. But also, like, if you don't have a driver's license and stuff and you don't have a car, I don't know. It's like, are these people really going to vote anyway? I don't know. I don't get it. I really don't understand why this is such a big deal that when you go vote, that you need to have something that says that you are who you say you are. I don't understand why that's a crazy, crazy thought. Okay, the next one is Bill Cosby to be questioned under oath in sexual assault lawsuit. A judge has ordered Bill Cosby to give a sworn deposition in a lawsuit filed by a woman accusing him of sexually abusing her at the Playboy Mansion in Los Angeles during the 1970s when she was 15. The order revealed in court papers made public Wednesday marks the first time the 78-year-old comedian has been told to testify under oath since he gave a deposition in a Pennsylvania case settled out of court 9 years ago. Cosby will be required to answer questions from the lawyer of the L.A. accuser, Judy Huth, on October 9th. So, a couple things here. One, why was this young woman, why was she in the Playboy Mansion when she was 15? What in the hell do you expect is going to happen? You're just in the grotto under a waterfall with a bikini on, and you expect that, you know, a young hot and bothered Bill Cosby ain't going to try something? Like, I always hear, does anything ever good happen to a chick in the Playboy Mansion? It seems like you're just asking for a groping, not like, okay, let's backtrack before everybody gets mad at me. The women are never asking for it. They're never asking for it. There's never an excuse, ever. But in this situation, I'm saying it's totally wrong, but what the hell? Why was she in the Playboy Mansion when she was 15? Is there no bouncer outside checking that they have a federally, a U.S. government official ID card or driver's license to get in? Because they should be checking that, and you should be at least 18 years of age, because there are going to be some boners floating around in that pool looking for something to stick it in. And I can't imagine that Bill Cosby just hanging out in the grotto in the hot tub, he probably just put roofies in the hot tub, not even in the drink, just get a, you know, that when, and have them dissolve and kind of like an Alka-Seltzer, and then it just goes up in your nose. You just had 8 young women pass out in the hot tub as he's sitting there going, I don't know. That's my Bill Cosby. I forget how he talks. It's the worst impression I've ever done in my life. I'm sorry that you guys had to hear that. I'm ashamed. I don't like myself. So Bill. And what was Bill doing at the Playboy Mansion? That's one of those things too where you start hearing these other stories, because I always just thought of him as, you know, America's dad, America's black sweater ridden father. And he went around, it's a bummer when you go through life and go, hey, pull up your pants, black people go to college, hey, stay home with your kids and raise them and all that stuff. And you're like, yeah, these are good things to say, Dr. Cause. But then the rapes come out, or the roofie rape, which I would say is it's still rape. Never mind. But you hear that, and then more stories come out where it's just he spent a lot of time at the Playboy Mansion, and you go, okay, well, this guy's whole thing is just out the window. His whole ethical code that I was so into, or this moral compass. Because really, really, you're going to say all this stuff and then spend half your days playing croquet with Hugh Hefner in a bathrobe? Come on. I don't want it. I don't believe anything you say anymore. And you're just guilty by association with the Playboy Mansion. Like, I bet if there was what do they call that thing where you can look up all the sex offenders in your neighborhood and it's got the little red dots? I bet if there was one for rape, which there probably should be, because they could be kind of tell you, like, hey, ladies, don't jog through this section of the park at 8 a.m. or 8 p.m. Dawn and dusk are the worst times. It's like fishing. You know, you can catch the most fish you know, right at six, right as the sunrise happens, or right as the sunset. I think it's probably the same circumstances for rape. Early in the morning and right after, just at dusk, you know? But I bet if they have the red dots for rape, I bet that Playboy Mansion would just be one giant target. It would just be a big old red clown nose on that map. And with Bill, you go, man, he's 78 years old. Good run. Solid run of rape. And you almost got away with it. You almost pushed off, sloughed off from this mortal coil without there being any ramifications for your actions. Or barely any. Sure, some people would say, I mean, the people raped would say, he's not a good guy. And, you know, it would have gotten out a little bit here and there. I mean, he did have that scare back in the 90s, I think, where some people were accusing him and he got out of it and still came out kind of unscathed, where most of America still went, this guy's a stud. Not a stud, that's the wrong word to use in this situation. This guy's still a great example of, you know, black morality, or sort of pulling yourself up by your bootstraps and all this kind of stuff, and appeals to kids. I mean, kids say the darndest things, Fat Albert. I mean, this guy was a... You wonder if there's like a Sandusky thing going on too. The kids say the darndest things. He would always say that after a child, be like, Bill, why did you touch my pee-pee? And he'd be like, these kids say the darndest things, don't they? My asshole hurts. Well, don't cuss. So, they almost unscathed, and it keeps happening now. It's like we're on these witch hunts for old men in society that have done heinous things to women. Where it's like Woody Allen had the same thing happen to him, where, and that seems to not have, I mean, he's still playing the clarinet with his jazz band, so he's not really in that much trouble. I don't think he really cares. I mean, that's sort of the attitude you want to have, and Bill sort of had it, where he was still touring, going on, doing his stand-up stuff, and even someone said something about rape, and he made like an offhanded comment, like, yeah, or he got a drink on stage, and he's like, you don't want to drink with me, or something like that. And I kind of go, all right. Good for you, in a way, because it seems like it makes you seem less guilty if you just kind of handle it that way, to me, where you handle it kind of flippantly. Like, these are such outrageous claims that I can still joke about it. I mean, that's kind of how I feel, or at least I feel like that's how it's supposed to be received. But Woody Allen's done the same thing with his stepdaughter. I think it was his stepdaughter that accused him, Mia Farrow's daughter, blah, blah, blah. And Woody Allen keeps going, yeah, well, all right, I'm going to go play clarinet, and I'm going to make a movie every year still. They're not going to be that great. I mean, he made Blue Jasmine after the whole that whole thing went down, right? So he just keeps plugging along, just kind of, you know, throwing his hands up like, yeah, whatever. That's not going to do anything. But that guy's old, and they're trying to ruin his reputation too, which I guess I'm happy with if it's true, but it sucks if it isn't. Now, with Bill, there's too many witnesses for it to not be true, and I've heard lots of stories that he was just a shady dude. But with Woody Allen, eh. I mean, I guess Manhattan was a little on the nose, if you will, about how he falls in love with an underage woman and talks about how pretty her face is. And that's, what is her name? Hemingway? She's descended from Ernest Hemingway. Is it Mariel or something like that? Anyway, so those are the two stories in the news right now that you need to know about. Now, let's look into the history. What happened this day, August 6th, in history? In 1945, the American B-29 bomber, known as the Enola Gay, dropped the first atomic bomb on an inhabited area. The bomb, named Little Boy, was dropped over the center of Hiroshima, Japan. An estimated 140,000 people were killed. 140,000. How can we put this into perspective? What is that? 40, 80? It's like 3.5 baseball stadiums of people? Full stadiums. Eesh, that's a lot. That is a lot. And I feel bad for Nagasaki. I know this is not a popular stance. It's not talked about very much. But Hiroshima gets all the credit because it was the first. It's like the same thing. It's always that. I think I talked about this the other day about astronauts, or a while back about astronauts, and how Neil Armstrong, that's it. No one knows who the second guy is. Buzz Aldrin, was he even on the first mission to the moon? We don't care. And it's like Hiroshima, everybody's like, ah, that's the one. That's what the song's written about, or if it's in a book, it's always references. Hiroshima, Hiroshima. But Nagasaki, no love. Also was a target of an atomic bomb, but not as many people died. And it was the second one. And it was in close proximity. You know, if they would have spaced them out by a year or two, I think it would have had the same effect. But it was, what, 4 days later that Nagasaki got dropped on? So I've been to both Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and even the cities embrace it differently. Where Hiroshima, the entire city, that is what has put them, ironically, what has put them on the map is what was taking them off the map. That's a good joke right there. That's very insightful and funny, Kyle. Thank you. But you go to Hiroshima and they have this, what the epicenter of where the bomb exploded is a blown up church, basically. And it's got a monastery, I guess, because we're in Japan. No. Yeah. Monastery? What do they call it? What do they call Buddha? It's a Buddhist monastery, right? Well, anyway, there's this church or this building there. Something spiritual, and they've left it there, and then they have this just ginormous museum memorial to Hiroshima and nuclear war. Nuclear war. God, I can't say words. I need to go to a speech therapist and have them... I need to listen back to this and just pick out all the words that I fumble through and say incorrectly and have them... just a very specific... speech therapy session where I'm like, I would like to learn how to say these five words better. But you go to the Hiroshima thing and they have these recreations of all this stuff of the actual explosion. It is not comfortable as a white guy. And I went with three other big white American dudes and we're just going here like, oh yeah, this is what we did. It was kind of like Germans going to Auschwitz, you know, where you're walking like, yeah, I don't feel comfortable here, even though I'm pretty far removed from this, or at least 70 or 80 years removed from this, but still feels wildly uncomfortable. So we're walking through and they have pieces of like wall where there's a guy on a ladder and his shadow is basically cast on the wall. I don't know how that works, but somehow that left, I don't know if it blows atoms apart and like kind of makes your shadow stick. I think that's where Peter Pan lost his shadow. He was in Hiroshima during the explosion. So stupid. And you keep walking and they have a broken watch and it's the exact, you know, it's broken right at the exact time the bomb went off. And then you walk into this room and... and it has, I don't know why I'm laughing. I think it's because it's set up in such a way that it looks like a Disneyland amusement park ride, or the props before you get on the ride. You know, it's like when you go in Pirates of the Caribbean and you walk inside and there's a parrot, a little animatronic parrot squawking at you and going like, "Dead men tell no tales." And there's boats going around and stuff. It kind of has that feeling, but it's a recreation of the bomb exploding. And so there's like children standing with their faces melting off. And it's, but I think you could even press, I might be making this up, but I remember you could even press buttons, you know, a little red button here and there that would have different stuff go off in the background where it would make like an explosion noise, or like a kid might say like, "Oh, I'm radiating." Or stuff. I mean, you know. So it was pretty uncomfortable and weird. And then you go into the last. I think the last room was all about taking down or getting rid of atomic bombs throughout the world. That was their big push, which, you know, understandably so, being that they were the only country so far that has had a bomb detonated on it. I mean, in order to kill people. I mean, we went to Bikini Island and set some off for the Nevada desert, but we don't really kill about. We don't really care about hillbillies. We don't mind killing them, or people that blackjack dealers from Reno. Not a big priority if one of those guys wanders into a testing facility site or whatever. So White Sands National or White Sands missile thing. They detonated a bunch out there in New Mexico. Hey, there's one way to keep the illegal immigrants out. Just detonate bombs, atomic bombs, all along the border, right? And then the radiation levels will be so high that if any of these people try to get through, cross the border, they wind up mutating or get radiation poisoning, so they show up, you know, they show up to Big Lots to get a job, or they're standing in the parking lot, and you can just drive by, look at them, and be like, well, that guy's totally illegal because he's gaunt. You know, he's all pale or sickly looking, and his eyes are all bloodshot. And you're like, yeah, he's got radiation poisoning. He's clearly illegal. Oh, my gosh, we don't need to build a wall. Just blow up some atomic bombs. We got a bunch. And, oh, Kyle solving all the problems. You just go, hey, look, we're getting rid of these. We're getting rid of our atomic, or our program, you know, like Japan wants us to. And a lot of the world powers would like us to the UN and everything. Like, let's take these arms down a little bit here. And we go, okay, yeah, sure, we're going to do that. But we're going to detonate 68, I don't know how many you need to do, 150 atomic bombs along our border, our Mexican borders. Right? So, I mean, talk about two birds, one stone. You know? And then the Mexicans show up with a third arm, you know, or an elbow coming out of their head. And you go, look at, there you go. We know who needs to be deported. Right? Send them back. Send them back. All right. So that's what happened this day in 1945. Now, whose birthday was it today? Is it today? We have, in 1928, a man, a person, a thing, an artist, a lovely human being that enjoyed soup, Andy Warhol's birthday. Now, Andy Warhol was an artist. I guess you could call him an artist. He was an illustrator. He was a lot of things to a lot of people. He was somebody that you would call fluid in his sexuality. I think he was at least bi, if not completely gay. But I guess he talked about penis a lot. And all great artists do. It always comes back to sex with art, doesn't it? And that kind of bums me out, because it really... You realize how base and pathetic we are, that the deepest, the most revered art is always sexual somehow, or people, or maybe it's just dumb people turn it into sex. I don't know. What's your take, Kyle? What do you like? Do you know anything about Andy Warhol? I don't know that much about Andy Warhol because I don't find his art interesting at all. I know it's the pop art, and the culture of the 60s was greatly influenced by him, and he was kind of an auteur. He was an auteur, but he was one of these guys that he was a tastemaker. He would just pick people and just dub them, you know, great. He was obsessed with celebrity, and obviously, if you don't know who he is, you've probably seen the soup, the Campbell's soup cans. He did a lot of stuff where he would take, I think he had like paper towel boxes. You just make a bunch of those and put them in an art museum. And it was kind of, it seems like a sort of Dadaism. You know, what's the urinal? The fountain from, why can't I not remember that guy's name? The biggest, crap. Hold on. Let's see what his name was. The fountain, I think it's the fountain. Duchamp. There we go. I didn't even have to look it up. I feel like it was kind of playing with that. We put up really expensive paintings up in here, and and art is very highfalutin and important. And then Dadaism comes around, and Andy Warhol comes around, and Salvador Dali comes around. I mean, that's still important. Surrealism was more important, but it was dealing more with the mind, and it was conceptual in nature, and you had to understand the idea behind it, not just enjoy it for, hey, that looks like a dog. I love it because that represents a dog, or Napoleon on a horse going through the Alps or something like that. So he did a lot of that. He did basically any celebrity you've seen in highlighter or with lipstick on, that's Andy Warhol. Edie Sedgwick was one of his many, she was some socialite from New York that he chose. He found her very attractive and interesting. She had a cool face or something. And then he just started putting her in movies, and basically that was his muse. And he would hang out and go to parties with her, and she died at 28 from an overdose. Shocking. So he's kind of a Hugh Hefner in a way, like a gay Hugh Hefner. I don't know if anybody else has made that comparison. Maybe they have. What else? He did a lot of conceptual videos too. He had some famous ones called, I think one of them was called Eat, and it was just a guy eating a mushroom for 45 minutes. Awesome. There's one called Blowjob, which was a guy, it was just a like something on a, I was close up on a guy's face, not what you think it was going to be a close up of, on a guy's face, and apparently he was getting fellatioed for like 35 minutes. But who knows if that's true? Probably true. Probably true, because Andy Warhol was filming it, so of course he was watching, directing. He's like, yeah, I want to see two dudes suck each other off. Let's film it, and I'll call it art. There's a bunch of other ones, but not good in my mind, but what do I know? He also was very influential with the working with the Velvet Underground, Lou Reed, which to me is one of the worst bands ever. I hate to say it because I want to get it. I don't get it. It sounds like shit being recorded to me. It sounds like people just... It's Lou Reed, Velvet Underground, Grateful Dead, all these guys of the 60s, the Flower Power, the LSD, the psychedelics. I think they turned everybody's brain into mush, right? And so you would listen to it, and to a normal person that's sober, they listen to it and go, God, this is the most boring thing I've ever heard in my life. It's droney, it goes on forever, and I don't care. It has no melody. It has no structure. This sucks ass. But if you're on doped up on enough like barbiturates, or you've taken enough speed, or you've eaten enough mushrooms, all of a sudden it opens the doors and you cave in on yourself, and it opens up into a rainbow of beautiful tiny black children. I don't know. It just opens up into Care Bears running across clouds. And I don't like music. I don't like music that you have to be high or drunk in order to get. That's what Bob Marley is. That's what reggae is. That's what Grateful Dead and jam bands of the 60s and Lou Reed and Jerry Garcia's drony ass, horrible sounding vocals. Some of the worst, laziest, heroin-induced lyrics and vocal medleys I've ever heard in my life. Hey, man, take a walk on the wild. It sounds like he's falling asleep in a chair while he sings these things. They suck. They suck. Well, man, they don't... I mean, if you're high, if you're on LSD in a park during the 1960s and there's a bunch of topless chicks with their titties out that are hard because it's cold, I'll tell you what, Grateful Dead sounds pretty good. Yeah, it does. So does a cat yakking into a microphone. That also sounds good when all that's happening around you. Lou Reed. Man, dude, when you got like a couple heroin needles in you and you're having an orgy with six and seven of your best friends, Lou Reed and Velvet Underground are pretty cool. Okay. Thanks, Jerry. Not Jerry. Well, that was because I said Jerry Garcia. What's another name for somebody? Thanks, Edwin. Edwin doesn't do heroin. What's a name? What's the name of somebody that does heroin? What's a heroin name? Taylor? Garrett? No. Good heroin. Henry? No. Tom? Tom Wolf. Anyway, free association. I can't think of anybody's name. Sebastian? No, that's a go-to for me, though. I like Sebastian. Lindell? Brooks? Brooks? Barry? I don't know. Who's a famous heroin addict? Anyway, the guy from Trainspotting? This is dumb. Yeah, so Andy Warhol, I like a little bit of the pop art, and I kind of respect a little bit of that here and there, but I feel like he's, oh, this is a good analogy. He is the artist version. Okay, Andy Warhol is to art as Amelie is to foreign film. It's an introductory course. It's something that everybody likes and can get on board with because they think they can understand it, and it seems like a sexy pick. But you realize if you go a little bit deeper, everything else is better. Amelie, you go, this is French film. This is a great French film. It's cute. It's quirky. It's got a good soundtrack. But if you get into actual French New Wave or a lot of the stuff that goes back with Godard, I don't know why I had to put some stank on that, but I did. You realize, oh, French. There's a lot better French film out there. And the same thing with Andy Warhol. He's got a cool, eccentric haircut. He lived in New York. He was all entrenched with celebrities. He lived this crazy life. He was into music and making videos and everything else, and so he... Blah, 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 blah. But if you go a little bit deeper, you realize almost every other artist is better than him. So that's him. And now we go into the shot of espresso to end out the show. Let's do it. Candles or incense? That's a stupid question to ask, Kyle. Candles, of course. You can get all those different scents that are better, like marine musk or sandalwood or vanilla and bean or cinnamon twist for the holidays. Incense always smells like you're just trying to cover up weed. That's all it ever smells like. And it actually leaves a trail of dust. It seems like it gets in your room and would cause a whole ruckus for your respiratory system. I feel like I should be in a seance. There's some sort of spiritual element. There's always a spiritual element to flame and scent, right? I mean, candles have that kind of satanic or Catholic feel to them. And incense has this more Eastern. You can kind of tell like what people are into spiritually by what they have in their, which one they have in their room. If you have a candle, it's like, oh, you're, what are you, like a Baptist or a Protestant or, you know, something Western. If you're doing incense, it's like, okay, get into your yoga pose, you know, and talk about how much you like Krishna, right? Or is that the elephant one? I don't know. You're into some Eastern philosophy that outdates or pre-exists anything about Jesus or the Greeks or anything like that. But I am Western, so I got to go candles. Showtime or HBO? That's also an easy one. You're going to go HBO all the way because Showtime, I actually just got a 30-day free trial to watch a comedy documentary with Tig Notaro and John Doerr. And I looked at their lineup of shows. What do they have? Dexter? I think that's it, right? I don't know. But HBO's been killing it. You got The True Detective. You got Girls. You got Looking, which I don't know why I mentioned those because I don't watch any of them. But 6 Feet Under, Sopranos, plus they got a good lineup of movies. I'm very excited about HBO right now. I think it's great. UPS or FedEx? I'm gonna go UPS, even though they had a horrible slogan for a while called "What Can Brown Do for You?" Not good. But UPS, I do like the brown. I think it's a nice color scheme. It's not as patriotic. I don't like FedEx because it's so patriotic. It's the same color as the U.S. Postal Service. It's confusing. Or maybe it's not anymore. Is it orange now? Blue and orange? I think UPS just did a great job of going the opposite route of all the other colors of these delivery systems. So UPS, I don't know what UPS stands for. U.S. Postal Service? No. United Postal Service? I don't know. FedEx, Federal Express, right? Anyway, so that's going to be UPS. Now you're going to go Montreal Expos or Washington Senators. These are defunct MLB teams. Or not defunct, they just moved. They became another team. So the Expos became the... Who did the Expos become? The Washington Senators became the Nationals? Or the Expos became the Nationals, right? Oh, no. Let's see if I can find this out. What did the Expos become? Expos. Montreal Expos. Yeah, Montreal Expos became the Washington Nationals, and the Senators became the Texas Rangers. There we go. So which one do you like more? I'm going to go Montreal Expos all the way, because I like they're from Canada, I like they're called the Expos, I like their logo. They were a good team, and I also got my first and only foul ball during a game at Candlestick Park off of a foul grounder up the third base line. Little 8-year-old or 9-year-old Kyle got like leaned out the box and had his glove and picked up the grounder, and it was from a Montreal Expo. I don't know who it was, but that's why they have a soft spot in my heart. It was a good game. I think we won. I think Barry Bonds hit a grand slam in that game. It was a good day. My grandparents had this hookup where they got this third baseline box, which if you don't remember... Well, who wouldn't remember unless you have the same life as I do. In Candlestick Park, they had boxes like right on the field. They don't do that really much anymore, or at least not in AT&T. It was awesome. So I'm going to go Expos for sure. Easter Island or the Galapagos? You know, Easter Island gets a lot of play, but I feel like it's sort of like Stonehenge. Well, once you get there and trudge around for 15 minutes, you go, okay, some stones, sundial maybe, something to do with the winter solstice. All right, I'm ready to go back to Salisbury, head back to the hostel. So I feel like Easter Island's a lot of work to get out to an island to look at some stone heads. And there's not even that many of them. I mean, it's cool, but it seems like a whole heck of a lot of effort to get out there for something that you're probably going to enjoy for half an hour. Right? And I get tired of all the alien jargon around all that stuff. Where it's like, I don't even know. How did they get these monolithic rocks out here? That is kind of crazy. Because, I mean, they always talk about that with Stonehenge, that they would have had to lay down pieces of redwood or lumber or whatever. Not redwood, because that doesn't grow in England. But they'd have to get trees or trunks of trees and roll the stones that way over the tops of them and then kind of just go back to front and then keep rolling. And they would, I don't know, they took them 50 miles or even farther, 150 miles or something like that, because that was where the rocks came from, supposedly. But that's what you hear about Easter Island, too, is somehow I've heard that the rocks aren't even from the island. Is that right? Or is that some conspiracy theory? Because then they say, well, how could they get them out there? They didn't even have ships big enough to carry these things. Oh, an alien spaceship must have tractor-beamed them up into their craft and then dropped them on Easter Island for no apparent reason. And that's always what it comes down to, why I don't believe in conspiracy theories or aliens doing this sort of thing. I go, why? Why would they do that? I mean, if they want to make stone heads, that's cool, but why just not do it right where the stone comes from? Why take it to a tiny little island and face them out? Although I think that would be very intimidating. If I was an Easter Islander and I was trying to defend my island and I made these giant heads and pointed them out towards where, you know, enemy ships would be coming up, if I was an enemy ship from that time and I saw giant stone heads, I might be like, maybe these people are a little more equipped than we think. Maybe we should turn around. Plus, it's Easter Island. Who cares? What's on here? What are we going to eat? Seagull eggs? You know what I'm saying? So Easter Island seems wildly overrated. The Galapagos, on the other hand, seems right on point. Charles Darwin. You got sea iguanas? Kidding me? The Galapagos iguana? These huge iguanas that swim in the ocean? A bunch of weird birds, like what, blue-footed boobies? And all kinds of weird wildlife, which I'm very much into. That seems where like the weird wildlife really thrives, is islands. Because Madagascar is another one of those. Galapagos. Australia's littered with weird stuff. All these, there's survivors out there, and that's why I think, that's probably what Charles Darwin thinks, or went to the island, is because the natural selection and the evolution, if you have to be able to adapt, you know? And so that beak on that swallow has to change a little bit if it's going to survive in these climates out here on the Galapagos. Because they have to crack nuts, you know? They can't just eat bugs. So they have to, their beak has to become bigger and harder or something. I don't know. So I want to go Galapagos for sure. That's been the show this Thursday, August 6th. I hope you enjoyed it. And I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful weekend. And I'll see you next week.